Welcome to the Rink Special Edition. I'm James Tapelake Graylian along with Tom Luongo. Tom, as soon as we finished our last podcast recording, big news dropped from the NHL. Phoenix Coyotes unleashed a two-headed monster in the form of, first, a Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing, and second, an offer to buy the Phoenix Coyotes by a Canadian billionaire that we're all pretty familiar with. Do you want to kind of break this down a little bit as to what we're looking at here?
Yeah, it looks like Jim Balsillie, CEO of BlackBerry Research in Motion, who previously wanted to buy the Nashville Predators, and if we all remember his scheme to pre-sell season tickets in order to prove that there would be a viable market in Southern Ontario, has apparently offered $212.5 million to buy Phoenix, contingent on moving the team to somewhere west of Toronto.
At this point, all we're hearing really is Southern Ontario, which pretty much means Hamilton. They're the only ones who have an arena ready, as far as
right.
I know.
Right. The big thing here is that in order for Phoenix to get out of their ridiculous 30-year lease with the city of Glendale, they had to file bankruptcy in order to break that lease. And the team owner Jerry Moyes has cooked up this option for getting out of a completely failing hockey franchise by doing just that, and then lining up a buyer. What's interesting is I'm reading from Myrtle's site the quote from Moyes about what's going to be necessary for somebody to come in and potentially overbid Balsillie at this point, which is that apparently overbids must exceed his proposal by $5 million and must be fully funded at closing without a financial contingency, i.e. boots Del Biagio, sorry, you don't get to underbid me this time.
Exactly. Basically, that just means cash in hand, which to me also looks like Mr. Balsillie is ready to pay cash in hand also.
Yeah, he's also willing to throw up $17 million in the interim to keep the franchise actually functioning.
Which doesn't really seem like a bad investment at this point, because I'm sure that kind of float money is just going to turn right into stock.
Right. Yeah. He's only doing this because he knows that he can bring – he knows he has a financial – windfall coming at the end of the rainbow if Gary Bettman would just get the hell out of the way.
Mm-hmm. And everything from this to me looks like that's exactly what this is designed to do. Get Gary Bettman the hell out of the way. If what is Gary Bettman going to do at this point? I think that we need to throw this quote out by Bill Daly, deputy commissioner, which of course we haven't heard from Commissioner Bettman at this point. From what I understand, perhaps he's reading a children's book to some kids and just got the news that way. The quote is from Bill Daly. "We have just become aware of today's bankruptcy court filing, reportedly made on behalf of the Phoenix Coyotes. We are investigating the circumstances surrounding the petition, including the propriety of the filing. We have removed Jerry Moyes from all positions of authority to act for or on behalf of the club. The league will appear and proceed before the bankruptcy court in the best interests of all the club's constituencies, including its fans in Arizona and the league's 29 other member clubs." So the question, what we were talking about on episode 32 of our podcast, is the NHL in control of the Coyotes? Well, they certainly believe that they are right now.
Yeah, it seems that way, and it seems like they believe they have that power. I can't tell you if they do or they don't. It's going to be very interesting to figure that out. At the end of the day, if they do have control, they're going to have to figure out how to pay off Jerry Moyes. Mm-hmm. Who has, what, $109 million? Is that what you figured out?
According to the bankruptcy filing that is currently online and which we have a link to on our site, www.rinkpodcast.com, the 40 largest unsecured claims for creditors on the filing, Jerry Moyes is listed as number one with $103.8 million. The next one is $1.34 million. So by over $102 million, he is by far the largest creditor.
Creditor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
means
yeah,
he's
so
pumping in money and not getting nothing back. So
well, yeah. So what if the NHL is going to take control of the franchise, they have to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to remove him from. I would imagine they'd have to pay him. And how are they going to do that if they can't find a buyer?
Mm-hmm.
unless you know, and this is the interesting part about it is that how is the NHL. I mean, I would imagine that the NHL is just going to continue to fund operations of the Coyotes in the interim while they look for another buyer, throwing even more money down this rat hole.
No, absolutely. And that's not going to – I don't see that happening.
And, you know, the subtext to this, of course, is that they don't want to – I'm sure that Bettman's getting a tremendous pushback from both the cities of Detroit and Toronto to not put a team in Hamilton because it's – and I'm sure Buffalo as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're the three markets that would be "quote unquote" most affected by this. So the real question is how much more do the Toronto Maple Leafs want to fund the operations of the rest of the league? I mean, they're already the biggest contributors to revenue sharing,
right?
If it's what I'm getting at. So I mean, they're already throwing it. God knows what $30 or $40 million a year in revenue sharing, and then they're going to throw another. You know, I mean, how much more are they going to have to throw in to fund the Coyotes and keep them running?
Mm-hmm. Not only that, yep. He's talking about moving him to Canada, where the most successful financially most financially successful franchises are. How do you turn that down?
How do you turn that down? How do you keep a franchise in all good conscience? How do you keep a franchise in the poster child for the U.S. housing bust?
Mm-hmm.
Glendale.
Yeah.
Jobbing.com arena. It's like we have like the worst of two possible worlds come together in the two world's worst bubbles, the tech boom bubble, the internet bubble, and then the housing bubble, all in Glendale.
Yep.
And then we throw an original Canadian team down there and then leave them there. And in all good conscience, we're going to leave them there because we're committed to all 30 markets.
And directly in the shadow of football, of Arizona State University, of all sorts of other sports that take directly away from the Phoenix Coyotes.
Right.
There was no reason to go there in the first place, now they're just trying to do this anyways.
It's that whole area is, you know, if it doesn't wind up becoming part of Mexico in the next 10 years. It's not a boom town anymore. It's a bust town. So bust and let it go.
Yeah.
I've never had much of an opinion one way or the other about Bettman, but this whole refusal to deal with his really troubled franchises, I'm now at the point of saying, bite me. Okay, now as a hockey fan, I'm like, bite me, Bettman. Move the friggin' team. Let Balsillie into the owner's group. I don't know what's going on here, but obviously this guy is not welcome by the owners. I think with Bob McKenzie talked about this, about the Nashville incident, and there's something going on here. But you have this on top of Charles Wang openly stating this week that he wishes he hadn't bought the Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
He's got no avenue over there. So if Balsillie doesn't get the Phoenix Coyotes this week, he's going to go after the Islanders next week.
Right.
You can't.
And also, you mentioned the what Basile was doing previously with the Predators. He's doing it again because he has set up MakeIt7.ca, which is basically his petition to the fans to get the to get it moved.
Right, and the people in Canada want the team. I don't even understand why this hasn't been done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. You know, Moyes and Balsillie cooked up a scheme to make it work. They're going to go to bankruptcy court. I mean, what's the NHL going to do when they hit bankruptcy court? And Jerry Moyes says, "Okay, fine. You don't want to take Balsillie's offer? Fine. Pay me my $104 million that you owe me.
Yep.
If you want to run the team.
No, absolutely. This is entirely an end run around the league. And
good.
Yeah, excellent. They should. I'm glad he's doing it. He's also And supposedly we're going to know a lot more by June 30th. That's the deadline supposedly set by, I don't know where that's set exactly, perhaps in the bankruptcy filing. But as to what we should know then, where the team is going, who's bought it, and the like. It's
well, the process assures that the identities of the new owner and the team's location will be known by June 30th, thus enabling the NHL to include the team in its 2009-2010 schedule. I guess if it's up in the air at that point, then we'd be a 2019 league next year while the Coyotes are on hiatus.
That would be pretty crazy to see a team actually go into hiatus. That's failure right there.
That's ECHL level failure. I mean, that's bad. I mean, that's what happened to the Jacksonville Lizard Kings about 7 or 8 years ago. You know, the Jacksonville Coliseum was closed and they were waiting for the new stadium to be built, and so the team was put on administrative leave for all intents and purposes, never to return, mind you. Your arena never got built,
right? Ergo. And it happens all the time in the minors. It's not, sure. You know, but this is not Bush League. So, I mean, this is certainly a slap in the face. But it's Bush. Well, they're behaving Bush League.
Well,
but.
Me and G Dub will tell you that the biggest issue with the NHL not appearing Bush League is their. Getting over their Bush League appearance is their handling of their referees and the way their game is refereed. So, you know, how the NBA gets around that charge, I don't know.
Well, we're going to talk. We'll talk referees another time because I have some things to say on refereeing. But that's not this. Here's my thing. If they move to – if they, what?
Just pushing your buttons.
I know. If they move Phoenix – into Southern Ontario, what happens? Do the Atlanta Thrashers join the Western Conference? I mean, maybe the Nashville already is. Oh, Detroit already is. Oh, how many, what team exactly moves over to the Western Conference and I have to start paying attention to them?
And then at that point, if they do that, they really should just go back to name divisions again and name conferences and get rid of the whole East versus West thing. This ain't the NBA.
No, it's not.
Get over it. Get me back to the American League and the National League, or the, you know, effectively, or
it works in baseball. It works in it works everywhere else. It's just you know, it's more marketing driven than anything else, it seems like. And frankly, it's failed. You know, now what? maybe we move the Islanders to Kansas City, and that makes up for it. I mean, my question now is what does Wong do? I mean, he's going to be, you know, he's thinking. If he's already said, I regret buying this team, and now this happens, well, you know, what's to keep him from, you know, basically making the team file for bankruptcy?
It's even worse. Think of it this way. If Bettman blocks Balsillie on this sale again, then how does Charles Wang sell the Islanders?
Yeah.
And he's just stuck, and he has to be stuck because Gary Bettman is stubborn.
Right, and how do you know? Well, the question to me is, how does he convince a judge to say, okay, this guy Jerry Moyes still has to lose money. We're going to make him lose money.
Right, we're going to make him. Or no, the league will lose the money at this point. At this point, Moyes won't get. How do you tell a bankruptcy judge? No, the biggest creditor to the Phoenix Coyotes isn't allowed to get paid because we're not willing to sell the team to move it.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. So what they'd have to do is they'd have to sell the team to somebody else who's only willing to buy the team for $105 million.
Or at least buy his share for. Was it right. Forbes? That's, according to Myrtle's site, Forbes estimated the team to be worth $142 million. That was last fall.
Okay. And you know, when Buffalo was sold, they were supposedly worth, you know, $142 million. And Golisano got the team for basically $7 million plus assuming the debt.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do the math. At this point, whoever comes in is going to have to pony up at least, I would think at this point, they'd have to pony up at least $105 million.
Yeah.
Just at a minimum. That's to pay Moyes off, and that would only be done if the league can convince the bankruptcy judge that this is the right way to go, and any bankruptcy judge with half a brain is going to go, why wouldn't you take the money,
Right.
You know, and I just don't understand.
Well,
I don't,
you know, these days you can push just about any of that fear tactic that you want and say things like, oh, it's going to lose jobs in Phoenix. It's going to, you know, lose revenue for an American city. But what revenue? There's nothing going on. And, you know, we talked about this in our last episode, episode 32 of The Rink. You know, the promise of the sports franchise and the money that it brings in. But it really doesn't bring in money because it's got to come from somewhere. And that's the pockets of people from another location. So it's, you
right.
know, you take it out of that restaurant over there and you bring it over to these tickets over here, and it just doesn't work,
you know,
out that way.
The city of Glendale, when their coffers were fat and happy from all the property taxes they were taking in from home prices going up double digits year over year, got mm-hmm. stupid with their money, and they made a bad investment in a bad hockey team and a bad hockey franchise, and now they have to live with it. And I don't see that Jim Balsillie should have to, you know, continue this process. And it's dumb for the NHL to continue the relationship. They've got the arena, and pretty much they want to be paid to. At some point, I guess maybe at the end of the day, maybe I'm thinking about this wrongly. They're going to have to come to some arrangement with the city of Glendale. They're going to have to pay them off for a portion of that lease. Mm-hmm. I have a distinct feeling. And in some ways, that's what Balsillie's trying to do by making this huge overbid. Look, Moyes is going to get paid, pay the city of Glendale a certain amount of money to, you know, break the lease.
The rest of the creditors get paid, so they're happy.
Everybody gets paid, and the city of Glendale gets a, you know, they throw $20 or $30 million into their coffers and say, look, you know, that's it. And it may not be, you know, what the city of Glendale wanted, but, you know, look at the revenue to the city over the course of what, the 24 years that are left on the lease. Because mm-hmm. it was signed in 2003, it's 2009, it's a 30-year lease, it's 24 years left. And they'll have to figure something out along those lines. I have a distinct feeling that that's what's going to, that's the only way the NHL is going to get out of this and save face with the city of Glendale.
I don't think they're going to save much face in general. Can I bring up the ironic point here? Not for you and I, but for the people of the hockey fans of Phoenix. The Phoenix Roadrunners of the ECHL, they've been around Phoenix a lot longer, and they folded this at the end of this season. So had they known this was going on, you think they would have folded? I certainly wouldn't have. As a minor league team at that level, without the Coyotes as being a competition, I would prefer to keep a minor league team there now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't know. Maybe I'm not thinking about this right, but this whole thing just reeks from top to bottom.
Absolutely. Well, Tom, there's a lot of information that's going to come out in the next couple of days. A lot of quotes to be had, and we will do our best to keep on top of it. So, thanks a lot.
No problem.
That does it for this special edition of The Rink. You can find links to just about everything that we talked about at www.rinkpodcast.com. You can also find out about subscribing to us on iTunes and also leave a comment about anything that you heard us talk about. You can email us at rink@rinkpodcast.com or call us at 845-704-RINK. That's 845-704-7465. Thanks a lot for listening to this special edition of The Rink.